for your presence here tonight. We thank you for what you want to do in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for that you want to set your people apart to do your work and to bring you glory. So, Father, we honor you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to continue on really from this morning. And if you missed out on this morning's message, then you just need to get on the podcast and go for it. But basically, we resolved this morning that every one of us is called to go to work in the world. To go to the world, every one of us is called to go to the world. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. And he was saying that to all of his disciples, all of his followers. He was intending that for us. There is no question about that. We are all called to go into all the world. That's the calling for every believer. Acts 1:8, he's talking to his disciples again. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so there is no doubt that you and I, we are called to go to the ends of the earth. And this morning, we looked at that idea that we go to those who are near to us. We go to those who are nearby to us, but we don't perhaps like them, or maybe they're a little bit different, or some reason or other we don't relate to them, but we're called to go to them. And we're called to go to those who are nowhere near us, all over the world. And so I want to follow up on that tonight. And I really want us to think about the fact that we are called to do that, and what do we need to do to prepare ourselves to do what God has called us to do. And really, I'm padding a little bit here, because what I really want to talk about tonight is that some of you are called to give your life to cross-cultural missions. That's what I really want to talk about tonight. Some of you are called to spend the rest of your life reaching out to a people group that you don't understand, you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, you don't know who they are, but God has called you to go and be part of that. I've been reflecting back on the people that I grew up with, people that I was in church with when I was 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, and how the fact is that those people, they joined YWAM, they joined training programs in Bible colleges all over the world, they ended up as missionaries, and my best mates ended up in the Middle East reaching out to Muslims. One of my other mates is over in Western Australia running a YWAM base there, or part of YWAM base there. I just started to think about the fact that God took another one of my mates, is a pastor up in Newcastle. I thought about the fact that God took a group of young people and he said, I have called you to go to the world and to make disciples of the nations, and it's time for you to rise up and do it. And my heart for us tonight is, I believe God's got that for you and got that for me. And some of you are called to go completely to the other end of the world, into places that nobody else will go to, into places that need to hear the gospel because they don't have anybody else to tell them. When I go and visit our missionaries overseas, can I tell you the one characteristic that I find when I go and visit them? Can anyone want to guess what the one characteristic of our missionaries overseas is at the moment? They're all old. That's the characteristic. They're all old. They're older than me. What's going on? The average age of our mission workforce at the moment is well over 50. And how many know that that doesn't got a very longevity about it? How many know that that's not going to, you know, not going to cut it for very much longer? And what we need is, we need a whole crop of young people coming through who say, I've got a heart to see God's kingdom expanded around the world. And guess what? It might be you. Yeah. Well, that's a bit exciting, isn't it? It might be you. Name names. Pull names out of hats. Here we go. Now, like I said this morning, I don't think everybody can go because then there'd be no church left, but I'm really challenged by the history of missions. I'm particularly challenged by the Moravians, and if you've been around our church, you heard me preach a message on the Moravians, and so you should know all about them. But the reality is, out of one group of people, they sent hundreds of missionaries out of a church not much bigger than our church. Over a period of about 20 or 30 years, they sent about 200 missionaries into the work of God around the world. And what happened was, they just kept bringing new people in and new people in and sending them out all around the world. And I just really believe that God has got a challenge on our hearts. We're a supporting church, we're a praying church, we're a giving church, we're a sending church. We've also got to be a going church. Why do we have so many go teams next year? One of the reasons why we have so many teams of people going into the world is because I believe that we've got to blood a lot of people in going into the world of missions, because we're meant to send a lot of people to actually reach the world for Christ. Amen? That's what we're called to do. That's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. Whether you stay here or whether you live overseas, we are all called to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. That's really what I want to talk about tonight. And so whatever else I talk about, that's what we're really talking about, all right? And so I want us to think about what have I got to do to get myself to that position? Because I totally believe that you need to be in the same place in your walk with God here as you would be if you're in the middle of an unreached nation overseas where nobody loves God, nobody goes to church, nobody wants to hear about Jesus, and you've got to maintain your own spiritual life all on your own. Now, you ought to all know about that because one of the people that couples we work with, Tony and Annette Higgs, have been living in a community like that for about 12 years. And there's no Christians, there's no church, there's nobody else who wants to love God. In fact, all they want to do is do exactly what everyone in our community wants to do, and that is just get on with their own life, have fun, enjoy life, and hopefully go to heaven when they die. If they're Muslims, they think they can do that by keeping the commands that are in the Quran, showing up at the mosque every week, basically keeping themselves holy, although I have discovered that our Muslim brothers over there in Thailand are not very holy. In fact, drugs and alcohol abuse are two of the biggest problems in those Muslim communities. And so the reality is they're just messed up like everybody else. But that's how they're living their life. If they're Buddhist, then they're just living their life, accepting whatever comes their way, and thinking the next life might be better, so I better just make the most of what I'm doing now. If you go down to the streets of Patong Beach and you talk to some of those prostitutes that are there, those young women that have been dragged out of their villages when they were 10 or 12 and placed into prostitution in those horrible places in Patong where all the ridiculously rotten Australian men go over there and grab... I mean, it's just... For those men who want to live a holy life, it's all you can do not to be punching guys in the head every time you walk down the street. Because you think, what are you doing here? Don't you know that that young girl was dragged out of her village when she was 10 or 12, has been abused and raped by men ever since? And because she's Buddhist, she thinks, this is my lot in life. I have to accept it, and maybe my next life will be better. I'll come back as a cockroach, and that'll be better than what I'm doing right now. And those guys are involved with that, and I look at them, and I watch them, and I go, what are you thinking? Now, you want to go to a community like that? You want to go and reach community? You want to go someplace where there's a whole bunch of Russian mafia who are trafficking girls and running prostitution rings and stand up for the righteousness of Christ? I tell you what, you better be ready. There's a couple working in that in Phuket town, that church we're going to be working with, and they've come to that place in order to intervene and to stop any of those girls that want to stop that work, get them out of that work and get them back into their communities, educate them, help them to get finance and help them to escape that way of life. You want to do that, then you're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to be ready to go. You're going to have to be full on for God. You want to go into one of those Muslim communities, which are the most unreached communities on earth, where nobody wants to hear the name of Jesus. I've been into Muslim communities in the south where Saudi Arabian guys have given us the death threat symbol as we've walked past, and they've done the old throat slitting thing and said, get out of here or we're going to cut your throat. You want to go into those places and represent Jesus, you'd better be ready. It's not playing games. It's not nice holiday time for the little Christianese having a little tourist jaunt. That's not what it's about. It's about people who know what it means to represent God. And I tell you, if you don't learn to do that here, you'll never do that there. Every one of my friends who is on the mission fields around the world representing Christ, they represented Christ with distinction right here in Australia. When they were growing up, they were men and women of honor. When they did their Bible training, they sought God with all their hearts and they gave themselves to worship and the Word and they gave themselves to walk with God and to live with honor so that they could carry that with them for the rest of their life. And those people, many of them, some have fallen away, but many of them have done 20, 30 years of service for God in places that you and I wouldn't even want to live in, let alone serve God in. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Now, I believe that you and I, if we're not actually called to go and do that ourselves, we're actually called to live the same kind of life here. I believe that our support for that, for those people that go, and we're going to send some of the people who are here in the room tonight, some of the people here are going to be there full time, you know, for a long time, and we're going to be supporting them. I believe that we need to live the same kind of life. need to live the same kind of honor for God so that our prayers can be effective, so that our resources can be channeled, so that we can support those who are serving God with distinction. I believe that's our calling. If you don't go, because I have friends, people I grew up with, people I went to Bible college with, people who I know really closely, because they're there serving God, I feel a great challenge on my life that I need to live my life 100% for the kingdom of God. I better be getting about the work of, if I'm called to do the work of God here and not called to do the work of God in some unreached community, then I better get about the work of God where I am, because if I don't get about it here, I might as well go somewhere and do something for God somewhere else. I just believe there's that call on us to live in the same way. Break out of the complacency of the community that we live in. Our community is absolutely besotted with sex and with alcohol and with drugs and with all kinds of other rubbish, and it's time that we rose up against that and said, I refuse to live that way. I will not be dictated to by my community, because I have a God to represent who is great and powerful and glorious and awesome, and I'm going to represent him here, and I'm going to represent him in China and Thailand and anywhere else I go. And it's going to be the same. Don't think that somehow you could not do it here and then go and do it somewhere else. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you're weak here, you'll be weak there. If you're strong here, you'll be strong there. I've seen too much of it. If you're weak in your walk with God here, you'll be weak wherever you go.
That's right.
So there's an answer to that. Don't be weak. Exactly right. Don't be weak. And that's what I want to start with. So the first thing, Jesus is our example. He set himself apart and he came as a missionary to earth. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus came as a cross culture. Can you imagine what culture shock Jesus would have had coming from the presence of God, part of the Godhead in perfect unity and worship and fellowship and love and harmony, and coming onto planet Earth, living amongst a bunch of religious Jews who didn't know anything about love but knew a whole lot of stuff about being religious? Can you imagine the culture shock of that? Can you imagine as he came into that and looked around and thought, what are you people living like this for? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going and we go to Patong Beach and we walk through the nightclub district and we go, why are they living like this? Why are they putting up with this filth? And you walk through and you go, this is just unbelievable. You get accosted by cross-dressing transvestite guys in the streets, and you get women trying to drag you off in the massage parlor. What are you living like that for? What's going on in your head? Can you imagine how Jesus felt coming into a sinful community and looking at them all and saying, why are you living like this? Jesus was our example, and he wanted to show us how we're meant to live. The first thing that we need to do, if you want to embrace this, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve God here, I'm going to serve God overseas, I'm going to follow the call of God, you want to do that, then let me tell you how to do it. The first thing you've got to do is set yourself apart to God. Set yourself apart to God. You say, who am I setting myself apart from? Well, just go out the door and have a look around. That's who you're setting yourself apart from. I've been really thinking a lot lately about the lifestyle of the people of our community. And to a large degree, a lot of it's okay. You know, I was down the beach this morning praying, and there was a whole bunch of people started arriving. It was a bit disconcerting. And I was parked there in a nice quiet place up at just near Sandon Point. I thought it was a quiet place. I could pray and get ready for the service this morning. And next minute, there's all cars coming in beside me all over the place. Next minute, there's people getting out with karate uniforms and with red belts, yellow belts and brown belts and a few black belts. And I thought, and like there was, you know, and in the end, I looked around and there was like about 50 or 60 cars. I thought, what's going on here? In the middle of a Hong Kong movie or something? Well, they're all going to crack out at Bruce Lee's and have a go. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I thought, what's going on here? And I thought, this is pretty cool. There was a couple of kids who obviously wanted to just have a fight. I mean, they were just, I don't know. And you could see that the karate guy was trying to stop them just punching each other out. But they were coming to karate in order to punch somebody in the head. I could just tell that's what was going on. But they ended up down on the beach. It was sort of overcast, and there's these two little guys with their white uniforms down on the beach, and I thought, this is Karate Kid moment. And I thought, I nearly got out and took a picture, but I thought they'd think I was a weirdo, and so I didn't do that. And I looked at all that and I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with that. that's all right. That's not a bad sort of deal going on there. But then I looked around, you know, and we were out for lunch today, and I saw this family sort of gathering together, and they were having a birthday thing for the old grandma, and you could sort of tell what was going on. And then I saw this guy come in sort of at the end, and I thought, I don't know whether I was right or not, but I looked at him and I thought, this is a broken family. As this guy walked in, I thought, did you think that? Yeah. This guy's a broken family, you know. And he came in and he just wasn't right, you know. And he came around the other side and he sat down, but you could tell there was an estrangement between these people. And I looked at him, I thought, yeah, look, it looks okay on the outside, but you start digging underneath, there's all kinds of muck. And I looked and I thought about our society and the way that people live, the way they chase the dollar, the way they get into alcohol, the whole sexual thing that's going on in our community, which is just so, so sick, where relationships are being messed up because of physical interaction before there's any genuine relationship building. And I looked at all that and I thought, wow, it's just so sick. Set yourself apart. Yeah. Be different. Yes. Be different. Yeah. Be different. Set yourself apart to God. Yes. That's the beginning point. If you don't start that way, you'll never progress to anything else. You never will. If you don't start by making a difference between who you are and the world that we all grew up in, if you don't make that difference, you know, if you're going to go down to the pub and you're going to start drinking, if you're going to get involved with all the drugs and stuff that's going on around the place, if that's going to dictate your life, then you're no different from anybody else and you will have nothing to offer anybody else. Don't go down that path in any way, shape, or form. Just don't do it. Set yourself apart and be set apart to God. I got to thinking about Joshua in Exodus chapter 33. And if you... I've got 4 minutes. And anyway, not to worry. Exodus... This always happened to me on a Sunday night. Why is that? Exodus 33 verse 11. It just says that Joshua is this young guy who was serving the nation's leader. He was, you know, Moses was the leader, and Joshua was serving him. He was a young guy that was just looking after all the practical things and that kind of stuff. And there's this amazing verse in Exodus 33 and verse 11, and it says, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. They go to the tent, the tabernacle, the tent where they would meet with God. God's tent, which is really an interesting idea. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And it says, Moses would then return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. I've always been fascinated by that little phrase, that Joshua, Moses would go back. Moses would come and meet with God, and then he would go back and deal with the people. But Joshua had a sense in himself that there was something going on here. There's something more to this. And he wouldn't leave the tent. He would stay there. And I can just imagine him thinking, I just need to be in the presence of God. I've got to set myself apart and I've got to be in God's presence. There's something going on in my life. And I know that God's called me. I know that he's got something special for me. And if I'm going to be ready for it, I had better be in the presence of God. And those who know the story know that Moses failed, and Joshua was the one who was actually able to lead the people into the promised land, I believe, because he stayed in the tent. Yeah. I believe because he stayed in the tent, he was ready to lead the people. Yeah. When God set Joshua apart, he said, be strong and of great courage. Yeah. He didn't correct anything about his personality. He didn't say anything about his faith. He didn't say anything about the way he lived his life. He just said to him, be strong and courageous. You've got it all together. You've been meeting with me in the tent. I see who you are. I know who you are. You walk with me. You're set apart to me. Just be strong and courageous and get on with it. And you know what? I really believe that God would say to some of you that you're already set apart to him, and all you need to do is just be strong and have some courage and jump out there and go for God. Because you're already meeting with him and you're already doing the right thing and you're already setting yourself apart to what God's got. Amen? Yeah. Oh, that's point number one. If you're gonna prepare yourself for the greatest impact that you can have in the world, then you've got to set yourself apart to God. Just get real with God, get close to God, get on fire for God, love God with all your heart, meet with God every day, let God speak into your heart, learn how to hear his voice. Just get set apart to God, become that person who is so different from the world. Oh, just get it into your heart, get it into your spirit. If you need help with it, see your life group leader and they'll help you. Number two, do anything for God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do anything for God. I haven't got time to go through all of this, but I want to encourage you, if you're going to serve God all your life, if you're going to be someone who makes a difference, then you be the go-to person. Who's the go-to person? The go-to person is the person you go to when you want to get something done. Be the go-to person. You know, there's a guy that helps me in running the South Coast District, Ross Stewart from Lighthouse Church. Ross is the go-to man. Because if I go to Ross, it happens. If I go to Ross and say, Ross, we need to do this, it happens. It's not just, oh yeah, I'll do it and then it doesn't happen. Ross is the go-to man because if you go to Ross, then he makes it happen. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. As young people in the life of the church, be the go-to man. You can do more than people who are twice your age. There's nothing that's holding you back. There's nothing stopping you from being the one that we go to say, make this happen, will you? And you make it happen. Don't worry about how old you are, how young you are, how much experience you got, what you know, what you don't know. Whatever you don't know, I probably do, and it'll work out. Just come and ask me. Oh, come on, I've been around forever. I was here when Adam was a lad. I know everything. So if you're not sure, then you just come and ask me and I tell you what to do and you go and do it. It's easy. Don't get worried about asking somebody else. They don't know as much as I do. They haven't done as much as I've done. Just come and talk to me and we'll sort it out. Amen? Come on. And just be a go-to person. Say, I don't care about what anyone else is doing. I'm going to make it happen. And if I don't know how to make it happen, I'll ask Ron. He'll tell me. If he doesn't know, he'll know somebody who does. I know everybody. I know. I just tell you to go and talk to that person. You go and talk to them. They'll sort it out and you'll get on with it. Be the go-to person. Yeah. Amen. Yes. I tell you what, there are drop kicks all over the world thinking they're serving God and they're doing nothing. I shouldn't call them drop kicks, really. That's very that's not nice, but it's true, but it's not nice. There's people who are sort of on holidays. We talk about it in missions. It's well known. There are people who are on holidays in missions. You know, they've got enough support from their American church, usually American because they're so wealthy. And they've got a lot of support from their church, we shall say, not who they are. And they're over there on the mission field and they're not doing anything, but they're sending back nice little reports every now and then. You go and meet with them on the field and you realize after 10 minutes of talking with them, they're not doing anything. I've been around the mission field for a long while. I've been visiting people on the field. I know. You go and talk to them and you can tell straight away, this person's not doing anything. There's just really very little going on. Why? Because they weren't the go-to person when they were at home. If you come to me and say, I want to go to the mission field, and I go, oh, thank goodness we're getting rid of you, then you're not ready to go to the mission field. If you come to me and say, I want to plant a church or I want to go to the mission field, and I go, oh, gee, I don't want to lose you, then you're the person who's ready to go. Because you're the go-to person already. You're the one I want to have in the church. You're the one who's making it happen here, and so then you're going to make it happen there. If I want someone to lead a team overseas, we're looking for someone to lead the China team, and young Josh over there put his hand up, and we go, thank goodness, because one of our go-to guys is going to be leading the China team. So we know that it'll happen. We know that it'll happen. It'll happen well. It'll be done. It'll be done with quality, because a go-to guy is going to do it. That's the difference. Set yourself apart to God. Become the go-to man. The last one, very quickly, is open your heart to a big world. I got scriptures and everything, but I can't share them with you. Open your heart to a big world. God has got a big world out there for you and me to encounter. He has a big world for us, and anything is possible. Anything is possible. My friend who grew up stuttering, could hardly speak, is the friend of mine who was my best man at my wedding, is now leading all the YWAMs of the Middle East. Teaches and preaches every day of the week. And he was a guy that was one of our leaders in our youth ministry back in Newcastle. Could hardly speak. We'd get him to share every now and then, but he could just stutter his way through something. And now he's leading this whole thing in the Middle East and doing this fantastic. Not anything's possible. Open your heart. Set yourself apart. Get that right. Be the go-to person. Don't be the yes, 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 nothing happens man. Yes, 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 no. Don't be that man. That man's useless. A waste of time. You know, you get to know it. As a leader, you get to know someone like that. They go, yes, 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 nothing ever happens. And you go, oh, flip, what a waste of time that is. That's the not go-to person. Be the go-to person. That, you know, you'll do anything. You'll just get in there and you'll serve and you'll charge and you'll make it happen and you'll... Be the go-to person. Paul, look at the story of Timothy. Read Timothy. It's the best place to go. Paul says, I got nothing. I got nobody like Timothy. He's the go-to man. And I hope to send him to you very soon, because he's the man who will have concern for your heart and he'll make it happen. And all the others are a bit, they're not so good. But this, he's the go-to guy, and I'm sending him to you because he'll help you. Be that person.
Yep.
Be that person.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
And open your heart to a big world. A big world. Get on one of these mission trips. Get your eyes open. See what God can do all over the world. Amen?
Yep.
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to pray tonight for those that you are really challenging very effectively tonight to serve you in the world. I thank you, Lord, that some people here tonight are called to represent you in other cultures where there's nobody representing you. There are people here tonight who are called to represent you in communities where there is no church, where there is no witness, where nothing is happening to spread the kingdom of God. And I pray your blessing for those people. I pray for courage and for strength into their hearts. And I pray for the rest of us who are called to support them, engage with them, go and visit them, pray for them, raise finance for them, completely have our hearts and souls dedicated to you to build our church here so that we can support them. Lord, I just pray that you would just stir every one of us, that we know whether we go or whether we stay, that we're all going regardless. And we need to be ready. Our lives need to be ready. We need to have ourselves set apart to serve you and to honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. While we're praying, if you're not right with God, if you're far from Him, if you don't know Him, then now's the time to get right with God. Now's the time to be serious with Him. If you've stuffed up and you've gone far away from Him and your life is not honoring to Him, now's the time to get yourself right, get your heart right, get ready to sort yourself out and to live a life that will bring great honor to Him. We're going to pray a simple prayer together, and you get yourself ready to pray that prayer. Let's have it. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. I want to pray just really, really quickly. If you're not right with God and you know that you're meant to be set apart to Him, I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer that you can engage with right now to say it begins tonight. It begins tonight. The old life stops. The junk that I've allowed in my life stops. And tonight, I set myself apart to be the person that you want me to be, to stop playing games, and to be the person that you want me to be. I'm going to pray that way right now. Father God, I just thank you for the incredible call that you have for every one of us. And Lord, tonight, the old stuff stops and we're setting ourselves apart to serve you and to honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.